This is Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, your aviation information service for April 15th, 2026. We've got a packed board today, but I want to lead with a story that hits close to home for every pilot listening. Mental health legislation is moving through Congress, and the headline doesn't tell the whole story. Let's get into it. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk about the big one. Bipartisan legislation addressing pilot mental health is advancing in the United States Congress right now, and the language around it is striking. Lawmakers are calling out what they describe as a dangerous culture of silence in aviation when it comes to mental health. And if you've ever sat in front of an aviation medical examiner wondering whether to mention that rough patch you went through, you already know exactly what they're talking about. Here's what you need to know. For decades, the system has essentially punished pilots for being honest about mental health. You disclose depression, anxiety, or treatment history, and you risk your medical certificate, you risk your career. So pilots don't talk about it, they don't seek help. And we've seen the consequences of that silence in accident reports that no one wants to read twice. This legislation aims to change the framework. The goal is to create pathways where pilots can seek mental health support without the automatic fear of losing their medical. Now, I want to be clear, we don't have the final text of this bill, and the details matter enormously. The difference between good policy and bad policy here lives in the specifics, things like what conditions are covered, what treatment options are approved, and how the reporting and certification process actually works in practice. But the bipartisan support is significant. This isn't one party pushing an agenda. Both sides of the aisle are recognizing that the current system creates a perverse incentive to hide problems rather than address them. And that's a safety issue, not a political one. This affects you if you hold a medical certificate at any class. It affects you if you've ever hesitated to talk to a professional because of what it might mean for your flying. And honestly, it affects you if you've ever flown with someone and wondered whether they were okay. I'll be tracking this legislation closely as it moves forward. The key thing to watch is whether the final version actually provides meaningful protection for pilots who seek treatment, or whether it ends up being symbolic language with no real teeth. We'll keep you posted on ATIS as the details develop. Now let's shift gears to the military side of the house, because the Air Force just gave us something remarkable to look at. On April 14th, the United States Air Force released the first official photographs of the B-21 Raider during aerial refueling tests. And these aren't just any photos. For the first time, we're seeing the upper surface of the aircraft as it sits beneath a KC-135 tanker during a refueling operation. Now, if you're a general aviation pilot, you might wonder why this matters to you. Fair question. The B-21 Raider is the most advanced bomber ever built, and its flight test program is progressing through milestones that tell us a lot about where aerospace technology is heading. Aerial refueling certification is a critical phase. It validates the aircraft's ability to operate in close formation with a tanker, maintain precise positioning, and manage the aerodynamic effects of flying in another aircraft's wake. The engineering behind that is extraordinary, and some of that technology eventually filters down into the broader aviation world. From a pure aviation appreciation standpoint, these images are something else. The flying wing design, the smooth upper surface, the way it sits in formation with the tanker. If you love airplanes, and I know you do because you're listening to this, go find those photos. They're worth your time. Moving to the commercial aviation world now, let's talk about a couple of stories out of Airbus. First, Airbus shareholders approved all resolutions at the company's 2026 annual general meeting on April 14th. The big news is a leadership change at the top. Airbus has tapped Moraleda as the next board chair, replacing Obermann, who is preparing to exit. Leadership transitions at a company the size of Airbus ripple through the entire aviation supply chain. For those of you who fly commercially or who follow the industry, this is a name worth knowing going forward. The direction Airbus takes on production rates, new aircraft programs, and supplier relationships all starts in the boardroom. And speaking of Airbus, here's a fun one. There's a new cabin concept making waves that's designed specifically for the Airbus A350. It's called a two-level seating design, and the pitch is essentially business class comfort at economy prices. The idea is to stack passenger seating on two tiers within the existing fuselage cross-section. Now, before you get too excited or too horrified, this is still a prototype. It was shown at the Aircraft Interiors Expo in 2026. We've seen double-decker cabin concepts come and go over the years, and the challenges are real. Certification, emergency egress, passenger acceptance, and the simple physics of fitting everything into existing airframes. But the conversation about how to make long-haul economy more comfortable is one that matters to anyone who buys a plane ticket. I'll flag it as an interesting idea that's a long way from your next transatlantic flight. And while we're on the subject of how airlines make money, there's a great piece circulating right now about six aircraft that fundamentally changed airline economics forever. I won't run through all six, but think about aircraft like the Boeing 707, which made jet travel commercially viable. The 747, which created the wide-body market and drove down per-seat costs. The 737 and the Airbus A320 families, which turned short-haul flying into a volume business. What connects all of these is a simple idea. Every once in a while, an aircraft comes along that doesn't just carry passengers differently, it changes the math of the entire business. For those of us in general aviation, it's a reminder that the commercial world operates on razor-thin margins and massive scale, and the airplanes themselves drive the economics as much as any boardroom decision. And finally, Singapore Airlines continues to operate the Airbus A380 on its longest routes. The 380 was supposed to be fading into retirement by now, but Singapore, which was the launch customer for the type, is still finding that the airplane works on high-demand, ultra-long-haul routes where passenger capacity and comfort matter more than frequency. It's a reminder that in aviation, the right tool for the job isn't always the newest tool. Sometimes the airplane that everyone counted out still earns its keep. All right, that's your board for today. Let's bring it home. Before I sign off, a quick note on that mental health story, because I think it deserves one more moment. If you're a pilot and you're struggling, the fact that legislation is moving is encouraging, but don't wait for Congress to take care of yourself. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association and the Experimental Aircraft Association both have resources. Talk to someone you trust. This industry needs every good pilot it has, and that includes you. Today's stories were sourced from AeroTime, Simple Flying, and The Aviationist. As always, Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast built by pilots who care about this community. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Thanks for tuning in to ATIS. Take care of yourselves and each other up there. Radio Hangar, clear skies and tailwinds.